Please understand that you have great power. And let me tell you why you have great power. You have great power because for most of you, and if you haven't accepted the Lord, if you're not in the family of Christ, then we'll give you that opportunity today that you could be in the family of God. But for many of you, you already are in the family of God. Let me ask you this. How many have your lives been changed because of the love and the blood of Jesus Christ? Raise your hand. That is why you are powerful. Because you have experienced the power of God in your own life. So that makes you extremely powerful in that you can speak to others about what Christ has done. Nobody needs to tell me that my wife's a good cook. She is a good cook, and I know she's a good cook. Does that make sense? And so I can, if you ask me about what a good cook she is, I will, from my heart or from my stomach, I can reveal that because it's what I know. One of the reasons why you're so powerful is because it's not like, oh, a friend of a friend of a friend told me Jesus was good. No. You have experienced it yourself. So that you are eyewitness of it. You have experienced the love of God. And so you can speak to others around you with a great degree of integrity and a great degree of passion because you've experienced it. Does this make sense?
Yeah, come on.
And please understand, we'll talk about a lot of the power that God has. But one of the areas that I want you to understand is, and I've taught you this before, people are messed up. We're gonna have what's called drive-through prayer, and our church is designed very nice to somebody who needs prayer to come in one entry. We're gonna pray for them, and they can exit the other entry. And before they leave, we're gonna offer them coffee and croissant and some. But we're just gonna have signs up that say drive-through prayer. You say, Pastor, how do you know people are going to come? Because I know people are messed up. Our signs are going to say something like this. You know what? I'm forget what exactly the wording, but something to this effect. You know what? Would like to pray for your marriage. Would like to pray for your family. Would like to pray, you know what, for your job. See, what am I doing? I'm just graciously saying, hey, recognizing people are messed up. People are going to see that, and they're going to respond to it. You have people all around you that need the answer. And here's the good thing. You have the answer. That's why you are so powerful. Amen. And we think that we're not. But I'm here to tell you, to remind you, that you are. You are extremely powerful. See, think about this for a minute. Christians should be the most optimistic people on the face of this earth. They should be the happiest people. They should be the most optimistic people. They should be the people who are filled with the most hope. Why? Because Jesus Christ is our hope. Because with God, all things are possible. We should be the most unbelievable people on this face of this earth. Say it like this. We should be the most unrealistic people on this earth. People should look at us and go, there's no way that's going to happen. And you go, I don't know. I'm just unrealistic. But it's going to happen. Amen. See, it doesn't have to make sense to your mind. There's things that God has promised you that he can't lie. And so all you have to do is just be resolute and make up your mind and start to believe what God said. He said, with God, all things are possible. But he also said, all things are possible to those who believe. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So I'm asking you, I'm asking you, is there anything beyond the love of Christ? Is there any sickness too dreadful? Is there any marriage too broken? Is there any family too dysfunctional? Is there any sinner too unredeemable? Is there any sin too unreachable? Is there any person too unlovable? Is there any soul? Is there any town? Is there any city? Is there any county? Is there any state? Is there any nation that is beyond the love of Jesus Christ? Well, what's the answer to all that? No, there's nothing. And because you've been around Jesus Christ and his life has changed your life, now you are extremely powerful. Extremely powerful. Remember the Bible said that at one point they saw the apostles and they recognized that they were unlearned and uneducated, and yet they recognized that they had been around Jesus. Amen. Just so you know, in Jewish teachings, they were all very cognizant of what the rabbis before them said. So when they would stand up to speak, they would stand up very with great timidity, not wanting to override anything that anybody said before them. How many know Jesus wasn't like that? He said stuff like, you've heard it said, it's like this. But let me tell you what, it's not like this, it's like this. He said, but I say this. You've heard it said this, but I'm going to tell you this. Like people tripped out on Jesus because Jesus spoke with authority. Because you know what? Because Jesus knew the power that he had himself. I say, yeah, but Pastor Drew, that was Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. It's true. But can I remind you? Jesus Christ emptied himself of all heavenly privileges. Why does he tell John the Baptist? No, you must do this. You can't not baptize me. And then after he got baptized, what happened? The Holy Spirit came down. He was not only baptized by water, but he was baptized by the Holy Spirit. And then he was led by the Spirit. So what's he doing now? Now he's functioning just like any of us who will be baptized in the Spirit and be led by the Spirit. How many know you make a choice every day, even if you're saved, even if you're Christian? How many know you can run your life by yourself if you want? Amen. So I want to quickly go over some realities that I believe that will help you to understand the power of you. Number one, first underline this, that you were designed to take dominion. You were designed to take dominion. The Bible says death and life are in the power of the tongue. See, somebody say tomato. Okay. Somebody say burrito. Okay. What are we eating today after church? Menudo. Somebody say menudo. Okay. See, listen. Somebody say I'm hungry. See, you have power to say what you want to say. Do you not? Who gave that to you? You were given that by design. Look at this scripture in Genesis. This is so awesome. And this is God's design. Genesis chapter 1, verse 26. And God said, let us make man in our own image. Everybody say own image. Okay. So God's making all these other animals and all these plants, but they're not made in God's image. But who is made in the image of God? We are. Let me tell you what. Listen, we need to be responsible to take care of our earth. But let me tell you what. You are not the same, you know what, as a fish. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
God doesn't look at you and a fish equally. You are in a whole different place. Now, do we need to be gracious to fish? Amen? You know what? Do we need to be gracious? Yes, we need to understand, you know what? That creation was created by God, and we need to take care of that. But don't think that it's all the same. Because when he came to man, he said, no, man's different than everything else. We're going to make man in our own image. Do you see that? According to what? Our likeness. Now watch this. Let them, who's them? Let man. That's you. When God said let them, he's talking about you. Let them take dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. What's God saying? God's saying, you were designed, I designed you to take dominion. You are not like anyone else. You were designed, by design, you were designed to take dominion. Look at Psalms chapter 8. Up on the screen we have it, starting with verse 4. What is man that you are mindful of him? David's saying, I'm tripping out that God is so conscious of man. And the son of man that you visit him. How many have felt the presence of God? Why? Because let me tell you what. God visits you. Is everybody, does everybody have a father in this room? If you don't, we've got some issues, right? You know, how many know everybody's got a, maybe you didn't know your father, but how many know everybody's got a father? What are you? You're a son of a man. And David says, I trip out that look, no, go back. I trip out that son of man that you visit him. You visit regular people like us because you care for us. Next verse. And you have made him a little lower than the angels. That is actually Elohim, which actually better translated is you make him a little lower than God. Now, people freak out on that. I'm just telling you what the Bible says, okay? See, we get so messed up in our theology, we think like, oh, I'm just, you know what, you ain't just nothing, amen? You are a son of the living, you are, if you're in the body of Christ, you're a son of the living God, amen? You're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Think about it for a minute. Jesus, God sent his son for you. Don't say you're nothing. You're worth everything. Oh, you're missing a better time to say amen. You need to get a little bit more Pentecostal when I say something like that. Amen. Are you kidding me? Jesus Christ sent his son for you. That's how valuable you are. There is nothing more valuable than you according to God. Amen? Amen. That is the truth. You have crowned him with glory and honor. Amen. Oh, yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God crowned Jesus with glory and honor. Hallelujah. Guys, can I tell you what? He's talking about you. Listen, don't think it's humility to disagree with what God says. That's not humility. That's pride. Humility says, God, you said in your word, you crowned me with glory and honor. Thank you, God. I receive it by faith. Do you see the difference? Amen. By design, that's how God designed you. Yeah, but you ain't just nothing. But I'm just a plumber. But I just work construction. Well, praise God, you're an anointed plumber. Amen? That's who you are. You are all that in a bag of chips. Because God says you're all that in a bag of chips. Because he crowned you with glory and honor. God says you are honorable. So you are filled with honor. Because God has crowned you with it. Is this making sense to anybody? That's his design, number one. You, the power of you by design. Number two, we see it in Scripture. Look at these Scriptures. You know what? I'll show it to you in Scripture. Look at this in Matthew chapter 10. Matthew chapter 10, verses 5, starting with verse 5. Then the 12, these 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, now look what he says to them. Do not go to the Gentiles and do not enter the city of Samaria, the Samaritans, but rather go to the lost sheep of Israel. But look what he says. As you go, preach, saying, the kingdom of God is at hand. Amen. Now watch this. Look what he tells the 12 to do. Now who are the 12? The 12 are just regular men. There's not a king among them. There's not a prince among them. Jesus went around and he just found just people who, now they are special in that they were willing to drop what they were doing and follow Jesus. But they had no special talent or ability. Oh, this is good. Amen. Somebody, I don't know if you're catching this. They had no special talent or ability. They were only special in that they were willing to be used by God. They were willing to focus on what, to follow Jesus. Can I tell you what? You might not be special, but if you follow Jesus, you will be like no one else. Amen. But look what he tells them to do. Heal the sick. Keep it here, guys, for a minute. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. No, stop. I'm just asking. You guys are smart. Answer me this. Who healed the sick? Who cleansed lepers? Who raised the dead? And who cast out demons? We're not talking about the disciples. Who, if I described somebody who healed the sick, cleansed the lepers, raised the dead, and cast out demons, who might I be describing?
Jesus.
Now, here's what I want you to catch. Jesus is telling them to do the same thing that he does. Amen to that. And well, you know what is beautiful? They're not arguing with him. Amen. We still have time to go, whoa, but I can't. Here, just do this. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out demons. That's what I want you to do. Amen. See, this is, listen to my point. My first point, understand, this is by design. You are powerful by design. Number two, please understand, we see it in Scripture. You can't argue this fact. Jesus said, "I want you to act like I want you to act like me." Now we want to get where we act humble. Oh yeah, but I can't. But I'm just shh. Stop arguing with God. This is your design. His ministry. We're called to walk out His ministry. Amen. Look at Luke. Chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Luke chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. After these things, the Lord appointed 70 others also. No, not just 12. Oh, that's special because they were the apostles. No. Not just the apostles. 70 other guys. 70 more. Watch this. 70 others also, and sent them two by two before his face into the every city and place where he was about to go. Next verse. And he said to them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Therefore, pray for the Lord the harvest sent to the laborers into the harvest. Next verse. Go your way. Behold, I send you out as lambs to the wolves. Okay, guys. You know what? Rock and roll. Get out of here. I want you to minister to these people. These people need help. And here's the thing. You know what? I'm going to get there, but I'm sending you out first. Why? Because you guys can do this. Because Jesus understood the power of you. So what happens? Well, look at verse 17. Luke chapter 10, verse 17. When the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. In your name. And the 70, in your name. Look at the next verse. And he said to them, guys, here's what he said. Let me tell you what. I saw Satan fall. Look at Jesus' response. These guys come back, and they're like, whoa, this is so awesome. Even the demons were subject to your name. Now, listen to me very carefully. I'm not asking for any of you to go out and to do anything to try to influence others with your intelligence. Amen, that's right. See, your idea doesn't work. The reason why you're powerful is because you have been influenced by him. Yes. He is the answer to their problems. Do you understand that? They are doing this in the name of Jesus. Amen. But notice they're doing it. And they're tripping out. Whoa, this really works. Now, notice Jesus' response, because it's interesting how he responds. He says this, let me tell you what. And he said to them, this is in response to what they said. Here's what he says. I saw Satan fell like lightning from heaven. Let me tell you what. Sometimes we get this idea that there's just big struggle. You know what I mean? And Satan's over here and he's powerful. God's over here and he's powerful. And he's good, man. They're just going, no. Guys, that's not how it works. Satan said, yada, 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 yada. And God said, see ya. And he drops him like lightning. We see the same thing when Jesus goes, is this not true? We see the same, are y'all awake today? We see the same thing when Jesus, remember when Jesus goes to the desert? And he's fighting, let me tell you how the fight went. Satan said this, Jesus said no. Satan says this, Jesus says, you know, it is written. Satan says this, then Jesus says, no, it's written. Game over, amen. I don't know, some of you are old enough, remember Mike Tyson's fights? You know what I mean? And you're in the kitchen, you know what? Getting the popcorn ready, and you get back, and the fight's over? It was kind of trippy because he was stocky, but he wasn't that big. And he'd go against guys that were taller and seemed like, oh, man, this little guy's, you know what, going to get whooped. And he'd go out and just go right and just start pounding them. Can I tell you what? That ain't nothing compared to God and Satan. And so in response to them being, it's kind of like they were surprised. They're like, whoa. And Jesus is like, what are you surprised about? Let me tell you what I saw. This power that we have isn't anything. I mean, is everything over the power of Satan. The power that Satan has, I've told you this before, but I'll teach it to you again, is only influential. All he's trying to do is convince you that your marriage will always be that way. All he's trying to do is convince you that your body will always have that pain. All he's trying to do is, if he had any power, he'd kill you 30 seconds before you got saved. But he can't do that. All he can do is then after you get saved, he goes, nope, you don't got it. All he can do is send that doubt to you. But look at your neighbor, should I say, you're smarter than that. Amen. Number one, your dominion is by design. Number two, we see it in Scripture. Number three, Jesus prophetically spoke over us. Guys, Jesus prophetically spoke over you. Look at this scripture in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 18. Look at this. And he said to them, go into all the world and preach to every creation. Next. He who believes and is baptized will be saved. But he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. Now Jesus is prophetically could be talking about some of you who are in this room if you will believe. Oh, is that for everybody? No, because all kinds of people say, I don't believe that stuff. And God says, okay, Well, then you ain't going to walk in that. Watch this. In my name, they will cast out demons. Well, I don't think I have the authority to do that. Okay. Then can I tell you what will happen? It ain't going to happen. Is that not right? You ever tried to talk somebody into something and they've already got their mind made up that it ain't going to happen? I mean, you talk as much as you want. And here's the thing, prophetically, it ain't going to happen. Why? Because they don't believe it's going to happen. You know how come we're in the South Sanctuary today? Because I believed it was going to happen. Amen. I said there was a wall right here. I used to open up the door because I knew we were in the North Sanctuary. It was skinny and long. Amen. How many know if you were in the back row, you were in the back row? Amen. How many know you're in the back row? You're still closer than you were if you were halfway over there. But I used to open up the door, and I used to see. I would open up this door right here, and I'd stand over here because I wanted to see how big this room was. I would try to visualize and see. And you know what? And one time I told Richard this the other day. The wall was here, so I couldn't put the stage here. What are you trying to do? I'm trying to see it. So what did I do? I had Joel tape off the stage over in that corner. And then I had him put all the chairs up. Now, I couldn't put all the chairs up because the wall was here. But we put up all the chairs that I could. Why? Because I wanted to see it. Amen? Amen? See, please, why am I showing you this? Here's why. Because I want you to see it. I want you to understand, by design, God has called you. By design, you're called to take dominion. Yeah, but my marriage is like this. Well, take dominion over that. Amen? Yeah, but my body's like this. Take dominion over that. Yeah, but my family's always take dominion over that. Yeah, but I can't ever remember names. I can't ever lose weight. I can't ever, quiet. Stop seeing that way. Because you know what? I can't talk. Listen, if you, I don't believe that. God says, let me tell you what. These supernatural things will only happen to those who believe. Look, I'm going to show it to you. Look what he says. And these signs will follow anybody who goes to church. Is that what it says? But Pastor, how come it don't work? Listen, because going to church isn't the requirement. How many know going to church is important? Especially going to church like this. Why? Because we're going to speak life to you. We're going to encourage you. We're not going to tell you you can't. We're going to tell you you can. Why would that be important? Here's why. Let's say what God says. Amen? Amen. We can't afford to say what we think. Amen. Why? Because, love you guys. Because we think foolishly. So what do we? So why do you come here? Especially the Bible says, as the days are getting shorter, as the day approaches, the coming of the Lord. Guys, you need to come and remind yourself. You know what? And let me remind you. You are the head, not the tail. Listen, God has designed you that way. You do not have to take it. Amen. You do not have to take it. So Jesus prophesied over you. What did he say? These signs will follow those who believe. Watch this. In my name, they will cast out demons. In my name, they will speak with new tongues. I know all kinds of people, all kinds of Christians, all kinds of pastors who say, you know what, but I don't pray in tongues. God hasn't, you know what, I don't believe God's given that to me. Well, that kind of freaks me out. And let me tell you why. Because Jesus said, you know what, if you'll believe it, you know what, these signs will follow those who believe. Amen. Amen. I was 17 years old. I was going to say underneath that tree out there, but we cut that tree down because it looks so funky. Amen. Look at your neighbor and say, your church shouldn't look funky. Amen. And so, you know what? And I was out there, true story, and there was just five guys who were on fire for Christ in our church. And we were out there, and they said, Drew, would you like to receive the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues? Would you like to receive that? Amen. You know what? And or you can wait. No. They hadn't even asked me that yet. We were just praying, just in the beginning praying. And I will never forget the prayer. The guy who was leading the prayer said, Father, I pray that we would just receive what you have for us. I pray that we would receive the Holy Spirit. And as soon as he said that, a language came out of me that I never even knew. Can I remind you this? And I'm just, listen, if you don't come, maybe you don't come from a Pentecostal background and you're used to thinking, well, yeah, but this is, that's what Pentecostals believe. Can I tell you what? Listen, I'm not a Pentecostal. I'm a Christian that believes the Bible. That's what I am. Now, don't get me wrong. If you want to call me Pentecostal, you know what? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. I'm not offended by that. I'm just saying, I don't speak in tongues because I follow a denomination. I speak in tongues because the Holy Spirit baptized me in tongues right underneath this tree when I was 17 years old. Nobody even laid hands on me. They were just praying. And that heavenly language started coming out of me. And they were praying. They didn't even know. Then after, so they said, in Jesus' name, amen. They had their Bible study. Then they put me in the middle because they said, would you like to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And I was 17. You know, I was 17. You don't want to go, oh. You know, I didn't want to go, oh, I already got it. You know what I mean? So I said, okay. And I said, but I knew I already had it. And I got in the middle and they prayed and they said, receive the Holy Spirit, just like they did in Acts. Receive the Holy Spirit, and I started praying in tongues, and they were all happy. And I thought, I've been doing this for a long time. Amen? All I'm saying to you is, all I'm asking you to do is just allow. You know what? It's kind of trippy that we would come in and hear the Word of God and not allow the Word of God to change how we think. I mean, that's funky. I mean, like funky, like bad. Oh yeah, I know what Jesus said, but I don't resist what God has for you. Jesus said that those who believe in my name will cast out demons, but then he said they'll speak with new tongues. Amen. Look what else he said. Next verse. They will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, they will by no means hurt them. Now listen, there's some funkiness. Listen, we're not going to get a bunch of snakes and you know, hold them and all that stuff. That's not what he's talking about. Do you remember in the book of Acts? Are you learning something today? Do you remember in the book of Acts when they're on the ship and Paul prophetically tells them, you guys shouldn't do this, but they didn't listen to him, and they did it anyway, and then the ship breaks up, and they're all dog paddling with a piece of lumber to get, you know, so they get to this island, and they're like, Paul is picking up some wood to put in the fire, and a snake bites him, and those islanders knew, oh my goodness, that guy's going to die. And so what happened is they're looking at him like, okay, we're waiting, you know what I mean? And they're just expecting to go, you know what, and you know what I mean? But that's, you know, so they're waiting, and nothing happens. Why? Because Jesus' prophetic word. And so when Jesus said stuff like that, listen, that is so if you're walking in the desert and some snake bites you, you know what? You don't have to die. How many know that's good news? Amen. It will by no means hurt them. That's what happened. He was prophetically speaking over Paul, and he's prophetically speaking over you. It will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on, Pastor, that's not realistic. Well, it depends whose kingdom you're in. I don't believe that. Okay, then you better get up to Kaiser quick. No, really, get up there quick, man. Pastor, you need to be more balanced. Can I tell you what balanced is not? Balanced isn't having a lot of doubt and some faith. I'm just saying that's not balanced. Listen, if you're going to judge that as being balanced, then Jesus wasn't balanced, Peter wasn't balanced, Paul wasn't balanced, you know what, Matthew wasn't balanced, Moses wasn't balanced, they all weren't balanced. And let me tell you what, I would rather be unbalanced walking in the power of God than balanced and walking in doubt and unbelief. Amen. Well, that doesn't work. You're right. It doesn't work. But Jesus told you why it doesn't work. Come on, this is tough medicine. These signs will follow those who believe. You know, it's so interesting. We live in a day that there, in Christendom, there are things that are taboo. You can't say it. And there's a political correctness in Christianity. And you know what I found one of the political correctnesses in Christianity is never question anybody's faith in believing for something. Because you can't do that. Here's the odd thing. That in the Word of God, Jesus does it all the time. I'm just asking. You look it up, you read it yourself. You know what Jesus said right before he descended to heaven? You know what he said right before? You know what he got on the apostles for? They're not believing in him. We don't want to bring that up. Can I tell you why we don't want to bring it up? Because we don't want to bring up anything that is accountability. But can I tell you about Jesus? Jesus finds it very offensive that he says something, and in our logic we say, I know Jesus said that, but I don't believe that. He just finds that offensive. Jesus prophetically is saying, if you will believe, you can walk in the supernatural. And I'm with you. There's times that I'm stretched and I'm thinking, oh, but you know what I do? You said, Pastor, what's the antidote to unbelief? The Word. You know what? Leslie Kegel, who's raised I don't know how many people from the dead now in Sri Lanka, raised people from the dead. He says this, if you want to change your unbelief, just read Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and you'll start, it will start to be in his, the naturalness in Jesus walking in the supernatural will become your how you think. Quickly, are you learning something today? Yeah. Jesus prophetically said this. So what's God's, number four, so what's God's plan to save? How in the world is he going to save? Hey, could somebody else around you, do you know somebody who needs Jesus around you? Do you know marriages that are hurting? Do you know people that are bound on drugs and alcohol? They're just, or just depressed. They're just, life is, do you know somebody around you like that? Well, does God have a plan of salvation to them? Yes. First of all, does God want them redeemed too? Yes. Yeah, God's will is that none perish. He wants everybody walking in a blessed life. So what's God's plan? I didn't have time to show it to you. But here's God's plan for to save you. I wanted to put everybody's picture, different people's picture. Here's God's plan. Boom, George is God's plan. You know what? Richard is God's plan. Tamara is God's plan. Caesar is God's plan. I want to put all those pictures. So just imagine that. And your name goes up. Me? Yeah, the power of you. You're God's plan. Let me just ask you, where's Jesus right now? Yeah, that's true. Theologically, that's true. But where is Jesus right now? He's in heaven. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. And what is he doing right now? He's interceding. Who is he interceding for? God, help them to understand. They are my plan. I'm not doing this. I was just thought about this. I thought about turning off all the lights, getting a Bic lighter, just putting it right here, and singing, "This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine." Here's the thing. It ain't no little light. Amen. You know what? Maybe I'll get a big torch. You know what? This little light of mine. It's not no little light. Amen. Is there any sin too big for God? Is there any relationship too broken? Is there any sickness? Is there any disease? Is there anyone too far from the love of Christ? No, it ain't no little light. It ain't no little big. I ain't going to get no stupid big lighter. Amen? Because it ain't no little light. Amen? Listen, this is so powerful. It took you and your misery and your brokenness and your... Ugh. Let me tell you what. You clean up really good. You clean up really good. And let me tell you, you didn't clean up really good because of you. You clean up really good because of him. Amen. Amen. Are you learning something today? What's Satan's plan? Satan got a plan too. Amen. Satan's plan, here's what he says in Revelation. He is the accuser of the brethren who comes day and night and accuses you. You know what? Some of you are walking not in your power that you should walk in, but because of some ding-dong thing you did in junior high. Some stupid, you know what? Yeah, but I used to smoke marijuana. So what? Amen. Yeah, but I had sex with like 30,000 girls. Oh, well. Amen. Like God cares? Like his blood can't redeem you from that? Can I tell you what? Please understand. The blood of Jesus needs to redeem us from what the Bible says, a sin consciousness. Paul says in Romans, when I sin, I don't sin. I mean, you put that in your theological bag of purse and swing it. Amen? He's just saying, let me tell you what. I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. That's who I am. And let me tell you what. That's not a bad mentality. That's a great mentality. Because let me tell you what. That sin consciousness will keep driving you back to sin. But a righteousness consciousness will get you out of that mess. Amen. What's Satan's plan? Satan's plan is just to drive you. You can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't, you can't. Well, listen, what's the antidote to that? You can do all things through Christ that strengthens you. All right, so do you have your green sheet? Okay, amen. Amen. Did you learn something today? Okay, I got to find my green sheet. Yes, thank you. Okay. So let's get our green sheet out. Let's stand to our feet. And let's remind ourselves who we really are. Are you ready for this? Somebody wrote this up in the church, gave it to my wife. I saw it the other day. I was studying. I showed my wife, man, I'm going to preach on the power of you. She brought that out. She said, look at this. I said, oh, that is good. That is really good. You know what? So here I got to tell you one thing. When it says, I am justified, don't go down to I am a new creation. Look at your sheet. It's about a third down. When it says, I'm justified, right after that on the same line, it says, I am sanctified. Okay? Say, I'm justified.
I'm justified.
I'm sanctified. And then we go, I am a new creation. Okay, so let's see, how should we do this? Let's try to do this together, okay? Are we together? Okay. Hey, no. Get Ernie a green sheet. Yes. Okay. Now get you a green sheet. I want everybody to have a green sheet. If you don't have a green sheet, raise your hand. Oh, my goodness. Quickly, ushers, quickly. Yes, thank you. Thank you, Rick, for being quickly. I like that. Amen. Over here, over here, over here. Over here, over here, over here. I want everybody to have one. Over here, there's a couple of hands up over this side. Yes. Okay, you ready? Take a big breath. Listen, this is who God says you are. This is what the Bible says, amen? And we're not going to read all the references, but we're giving you that sheet that you can have at home. I'm going to start saying this every day. This fired me up. This is good. Are you ready? Okay, ready. Ready, begin. I am a child of God. I am an heir of God and a joint heir with Jesus. I am an heir to eternal life. I am forgiven. I am saved by grace through faith. I am justified. I am sanctified. I am a new creation. I am redeemed from the hand of the enemy. I am daily overcoming the devil. I am delivered from the power of darkness. I am exercising my authority over the enemy. I am doing all things through Christ who strengthens me. I am more than a conqueror. I am not moved by what I see. I am walking in faith and not by sight. I am bringing every thought into captivity. I am casting down vain imaginations. I am being transformed by the renewing of my mind. I am led by the Spirit of God. I am kept in safety wherever I go. I am casting all my cares on Jesus. I am getting all my needs met by Jesus. I am blessed with all spiritual blessings. I am blessed coming in and blessed going out. I am healed by His stripes. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. I am a laborer together with God. I am His word in the earth. I am an imitator of Christ, and I am the light of the world. Amen. 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 No. The Bible says Jesus is the light of the world. No, you. Amen. You look it up. You look it up. Yes, Jesus is the light. But the same Spirit that is in Jesus is in you. Now listen to me very carefully. Listen, there will only, Jesus is the only, is the first Son of God. There is no, don't ever misunderstand me. There's no name above Jesus, including your name. Amen. But let me tell you what, you're in the family of God. And everything Jesus says is true about you. Amen, amen, amen.
Amen. When Pastor, early on in the beginning of his word today, he said, I don't know if he said, I don't care if you're a plumber or you might be a plumber, whatever he said, but it made me immediately, the Holy Spirit reminded me that Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber. Who knows who Smith Wigglesworth is? Put your hand up if you know who I'm talking about. Okay, then let me just quickly recap for everybody. Smith Wigglesworth was a plumber who, by the way, as an adult, he was illiterate. He couldn't even read. His wife taught him how to read. He was an illiterate. And he ended up getting saved, and his wife experienced healing at a Salvation Army meeting. And he just got taught how to read the Word of God and then just consumed himself reading the Word of God. They would call him a student of the Scriptures. That should be us all. So he became a student of the Scriptures. And so he would so just spend his time in God's Word. And he ended up completely in love with Jesus, completely knowing the Word of God. And if you're in love with God, you're in love with people. So he would take his paycheck every time when he got paid, and this meeting, the Spirit of God, the power of God had affected his life so severely, He wanted it for other people. And so he would pay for train tickets and take people to meetings where they were teaching on the power of God and where people could go and experience it. So that went on for a while until he ended up one day, the guy who was running the meeting said, I'm going to be out of town and you need to run the meeting. And then it kind of, you know, what slipped into him becoming one of the most world-renowned evangelists. He's one of the few people. See, the Word of God says a lot of things to us, and we can sometimes look at it and go, whoa, well, I haven't seen that happen. And many times, even if we don't voice it, so that part must not be true. No, every bit of the Word of God is true. Smith Wigglesworth is one of the rare people that was very well known for raising people from the dead. They would bring the dead to him at his meetings. And these people would live. Everything that the Word of God tells us is the truth, including the part that we need to renew our mind and that we need to believe this stuff and how powerful that is. So as Smith Wigglesworth, he became very famous for quotes, if you will, just sayings that he had to say. I want to read you just a couple of them, okay? Concerning difficult times, on our faith, he said this, there is nothing impossible with God. All the impossibility is with us when we measure God by the limitations of our unbelief. On the Holy Spirit, he said, the Spirit reveals, unfolds, and takes the things of Christ and shows them to us and prepares us to be more than a match for satanic forces. On difficult times, he said, great faith is the product of great fights. Great testimonies are the outcome of great tests, and great triumphs can only come out of great trials. On doubt, he said, the blood of Jesus Christ and his mighty name are the antidote to all the subtle seeds of unbelief that Satan would sow into your mind. As we read our Bible every day, you know what I notice? We so value our opinion. Have you noticed that? Everyone's got an opinion on everything, it seems. And because my opinion maybe doesn't agree with your opinion on something, I feel compelled. Really, we don't, whether we mean to or not, we make a judgment. Because if I feel one way and you feel a different way, then I think, oh, well, that's not right. But when it comes to the Word of God, we don't have the luxury to have an opinion. The Word of God is the truth. And we need to begin to uncondition ourselves the way that we think naturally and begin to think supernaturally, that we come to the Word of God like we've never come to it before, that we would look at it and we would say, well, Lord, if you say so, and begin to do what Smith Wigglesworth did. He would become a student of the Word, and he knew who God was, and he knew if God said it, that he just needed to embrace it. I believe, you know what, we are in a time right now as a church that the Spirit of God is calling us to believe him, not what we see. And as we do that, and as we unify ourselves and honor one another, we are going to see the demonstration of the power of God. People in our community need to know that God is real and that the Word of God is true. They need hope. They need restoration, just like you and I need it. And some of us have experienced it to some degree, and some of us have come through some things, and some of us are going through some things. But that's where we as a community of God's people encourage one another and come in agreement with one another and strengthen one another. As we know that God is not a respecter of persons, and as some of us have gone through some things and come out, so will everyone else. Amen? Laura, you changed your hair. Thank you. We appreciate it. Laura is the one who shared that. She had a little card, and she shared it with me, it happened just like Pastor said. He was telling me what he was preaching on, and I said, oh, this would be good, and I pulled it out of my purse. And I said, let's type that up and give it to the people. I hope that you will be sure that you're in God's Word every day. I hope that you will begin to just let God's Word frame your truth of who you are. Let no one else tell you who you are or who God is except for the Scriptures. Amen? May they tell us, because they are true. And any experience or opinion that anyone else has nothing to do, you know what, with God. And if we don't exalt it above it, then we will walk in the fruits of exactly what God says. Amen? Amen. Thank you. All right, I hope you enjoy this. Amen. That's every one of those is the Word of God, and every one of those is talking about you. So I remember when God told me, don't tell me who you are, Tamara. I'll tell you who you are. Because there's all kinds of things in you that I put there that you don't even know about. And so it is lived out to be so true. So, okay.